I can't deal with this.
With what? Table manners?
No, baby, with you telling me what to do every second of the day. With you rearranging my entire apartment, making the bed every morning.
You're still mad because I misplaced your papers?
It's not just my papers. I don't know where anything is anymore.
You can really picture that. A young married couple. This is from Tortilla Soup, and a very enjoyable movie if you've not seen it. A very young married couple. Were they married or just dating? Just dating. And they're living together, and she just is making all of his decisions. She's so overbearing, so controlling. She's a real, I mean, she might experience herself as a do-gooder, but she obviously has crossed the line, because unsolicited do-gooding is not do-gooding. So she needs to understand that it is his life. And when you try to mesh two lives together, you need to listen to one another to find out what type of help the other person genuinely wants and what is crossing the line, what is interfering or controlling. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. Today we have an all-email show. I have a lot of get a lot of emails, so hope you enjoy this. Right before the break, I was talking about a question from Megan, and Megan's problem was that her son, her 8-year-old son, in school, since September, has had his desk turned away from the classroom group. There are 4 kids in his group, so he's been isolated every single day in school from these other kids. You know, really singled out. And so she's worried that it will affect his self-esteem. And I think it sure may. He's going to see himself as different in not a good way, in a rebellious way. Now, either he'll say, you know, I don't care what other people think, and he'll gain some independence from this, or he'll say, I'm the bad kid, which is a very bad outcome. I'm the troublemaker. I'm the one that's always singled out. So the goal here with him is that the principle is that you cannot force a mind. If you want him to engage in classroom activities, you need to engage his cooperation. You need to work with him. You need to let him talk and find out what would work better for him. Let him come up with some of the solutions, then he'll be more invested in being successful. You also need to make learning quite interesting and intriguing. I can think of boring classes that I was in for a full year, and I'll bet you can too, but take him to the science museum or read with him or show him the joys of math and making change when he buys something. You know, make learning come alive for him and real purposeful, not just dull and boring. Also, it could be that the teacher just doesn't like him for personal reasons that she may not even know. And in that case, I know I once had a teacher that couldn't stand me, and I didn't do anything wrong. I was a good student, or nothing that I was aware of. I think she just didn't like the type of person I was, do-gooder. And what can I do? I mean, I'm not going to become a rabble-rouser. And so if your son's in a class with a teacher that's not a good match for him, the chemistry isn't there, she's got her own personal issues and just doesn't like his personality, then possibly you're looking at a more significant change, a higher cost change, changing the classroom, getting him a different teacher, or even changing schools if it's that severe, if you think that enough damage has been done. Of course, that's pretty serious. Okay, right now this is another email I received. This is one that I find quite interesting. This is from Bethany, who's having a lot of problems with her mother, who's trying to rip her away from her siblings and the siblings away from one another. Usually parents want siblings to connect, and they just feel very warm inside when their kids get along. So this is a very peculiar situation. Dear Dr. Kenner, I love my mother very much. Now, there's a psychologist who said anytime he's treated to that as an opening, I love my mother very much, you know you're going to be treated to a vicious attack, excuse me, after that. So it's not quite a vicious attack, but I don't know whether the word love applies here, because you can love what your mother could have been or could make of herself but doesn't. But this mother I'm about to describe isn't someone that I could love. Dear Dr. Kenner, I love my mother very much, but she has some very strange ways. I'm 21. My two brothers are 17 and 22. We all love her, and we are mature. My older brother and I have moved out of the home. Mom says we abandoned her. So there could be some empty nest syndrome going on here. My mother called me a month ago and screamed at me, accusing me of talking negative about her at her job. She doesn't know how to talk with someone as an adult. She said I was telling people she was a bad mother and that all three of us are mean to her, which is not true. I asked her to check it out first before accusing me or my brothers of anything. I blame myself because in the past I've always apologized to her just to keep the peace. Even when I knew it was not true, I gave in to her every time. So notice your integrity is at stake here. You always want to look at the facts and state the facts rather than state what other people want to hear. My mother's 44 years old but acts as if she's 72. She makes up nonsense stories to get attention and to be pampered by us. Now she's fabricating stories to pit me and my brothers against one another. She never apologizes. This started 4 years ago and has only gotten worse. So I'm assuming before then she was a decent mother and that's what you loved. After another ludicrous accusation on the phone, I told her that I'm going to act like this conversation never happened and I'm hanging up. Well, she showed up at my apartment 15 minutes later, barged through and started yelling at me and my boyfriend. That we were using her, neglecting her, ruining her name, and she demanded that I give her everything she ever gave me back to her and told me she never wants to talk to me again. So I figured out it was another one of her acts, and I would never do this to her. I would never tell her to give me everything back that I gave to her. It's been 3 to 4 weeks now, and she still hasn't called me. I wonder every day, should I call her again or should I wait it out? If I keep giving in to her, she'll keep making up these stories for her attention. It shouldn't be this way. I have not called, but my brother is begging me to apologize to her, to suck up to her, to make her happy. He said Mom is making him choose between me and her. Mom says he has to hate me and agree with everything Mom says for her to talk with him or to treat him nicely. He hates this. I'm very close to my brothers, and my older brother lives nearby. I told him I refuse to do it until she finally learns to admit her mistake, swallow her pride, and apologize to me. I didn't do anything wrong. I love my mom with all my heart, but I can't deal with it anymore. It's driving me and my brothers crazy. Please respond ASAP. Respectfully yours, Bethany. Bethany. Okay, you want to do what you're currently doing, which is maintain your own integrity. The couple of thoughts, one is that Mom may be going through the empty nest syndrome very badly, but it sounds much worse than that because two of you have left the home at this point and the third one's on his way out, probably sooner than later if she keeps up her antics. Mom may have an empty life. Well, it's her responsibility to make her own life interesting. She can't lean on her kids her whole life. You do not owe her that. A second possibility is that she's just a vicious, highly manipulative, envious person, and it's hard for you and your brothers to recognize that because you want to love your mother. If she is envious of your success and your happiness, you need to dump her. You need to treat her at arm's length. You can see her, send her a birthday card occasionally. That's it. She may have an organic process going on. For example, she may have a brain tumor. This happened to George Gershwin, who wrote Rhapsody in Blue in the American in Paris music. Very good music, but he started to act very weird and the family didn't know he actually had a brain tumor. So I'd check that out. I'd also check out drug or alcohol abuse. And I hope that helps. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Here's an example of how gender differences can cause conflict. Jeffrey loved Cindy, but he was frustrated with her. When she would relate a bad experience with her family or boss,
Why didn't she take his advice? And she was always trying to pry him open, asking him how his day went, what he was thinking, what he felt about this or that, things he never thought much about or even felt compelled to think about. He felt more at home with the guys on the basketball court, where there was no pressure to talk or analyze everything. He felt drained by Cindy's conversations about their relationship. How would they address this common pattern among partners? Cindy would need to learn to be clear about what she needs, and Jeffrey could learn how to be a sympathetic listener.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com and buy it at amazon.com.